start your day the two way in northwest London, the Thursday, Tisha B'Av, 9th of Av, 27th of July. Rina Rav, Rav Shlomo, Yitzchok, Bixen, Spanner, Shlita. Our Avoda on Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. This week's Torah was sponsored by family in the land. It was a Bechom, and Korim, and Nisim, there you have a Chaim Shmuel, and there you have worms. Sheigiu l'ol mitzvah, lo se sheva v'zol Hashem Yisparach, whose mitzvah is coming Shabbos and Chamu.
Now, Tisha B'Av, just about after Chatzos. And there's a very big question that the Mefarshim ask Benoigeya, something bizarre that we find that happens Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. Everyone agrees that the dinim of Avelus continue on until the night, until Nacht. There is a Havamina, there is a Tzad in the Bes Yosef, where whether we say Miktsas Hayoim Kekuloi, just like we find by Avelus, that on the seventh day, you don't keep all the dinim of Avelus the whole day, you finish in the morning. So maybe, just like we find that we put on tefillin after Chatzos, maybe the dinim of Avelus also cease after Chatzos. But Lamaise, the Bes Yosef says, no, B'shomoifen, it goes all day until Nacht. So the question is, if that's the case, why are we all of a sudden sitting on proper chairs? If there's a din of Avelus, it should be that we should be sitting on the floor a whole day. When it comes to shoes, we still wear slippers or whatever we wear. We don't wear shoes. So why is it that we have this Indian that after Chatzos, we all of a sudden start sitting normally together with the Indian, that we still have the Indian of Avelus? Sorry, I forgot to mention Rishus the Maradasa. So, in order to explain, we're going to bring a Gemara in Masechtas Makkos, famous Gemara, where the Gemara tells us a story with Rabbi Akiva and a few other Tanoim that were walking, and the Gemara says, Shuv pamachas hoy oilen Yerushalayim. They came to Yerushalayim on their way. Kiven shehigiu laharatzoifim, they came to haratzoifim, koru bigdeim. They all tore kriya, as the halacha is, that you're supposed to tear kriya when you come and you see Yerushalayim b'charbono. So haratzoifim is the first point where you can see the Yerushalayim. Kiven shehigiu laharabayis, says the Gemara, they came to the harabayis. Ro shual sheyotzo mebeis kodesh hakadoshim, they saw a fox coming out of the kodesh hakadoshim, mischili heim boichen. So the Tanoim started crying. Rabbi Akiva Metzachik. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amru loy, mipnei ma'atem Metzachik. Why are you laughing? So he says, mipnei ma'atem boichem. Why are you crying? So they said, what do you mean? Mokem shekosu boi vazor akorev yumos. The Torah says that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, any foreigner was not allowed to be there. And if he's there, there's a oynesh of misa. Now you see foxes there. Shouldn't we cry? This is the very reason why I'm laughing. And he brings the pasuk that speaks about Uriah Akoyen and Zechariah. B'chima inyan Uriah etzel Zechariah. Uriah b'mikdash rishon. Zechariah b'mikdash sheni. Elo tolo akosov nevo'oseh shal Zechariah. B'nevo'oseh shal Uriah. So basically, in the nevuah of Uriah, which it speaks about the first churban, it says, Lachem biglalchem tzion sodet echorech, that Yerushalayim will be dug up and it will be totally destroyed, devastated. And by Zechariah it says, Oid Yezhu zekeinim zekeinis berchoivitz Yerushalayim. At shaloi niskaim on evousa shaloriya, ho yisim isyore shaloi tiskaim nevousa shal Zechariah. Achshav shen niskaim on evousa shaloriya. Now that I see that foxes are coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I know that the Nevu of Zechariah will be miskaim. And the Gemara famously finishes off, Beloshna ze omru lo yakiva nechamtonu nechamtonu. Now, this Gemara begs an explanation on many different levels. First of all, the story is a fascinating story. It's a fascinating limud. But why does the Gemara say that koru bigdeyem? Avada, that's the halacha. But is this part of this inyan what the Gemara is talking about? Or is it only agav? As we will see, it's very much part of what we're talking about. Second of all, what does it mean that until I didn't see the Nevuah of Uriah, I wasn't sure about the Nevuah of Zechariah? Now that I hear, I see that the Nevuah of Uriah was in Skayim, I'm convinced about the Nevuah of Zechariah, which means that Uriah was bad news, Zechariah is good news. So now that I see that the bad news was in Skayim, I'm hopeful that the good news will be in Skayim. What does that mean? A Nevuah is a Nevuah. So the Mefarshim explain as follows. When it comes to the Inyan of Nevuah, we find in many places that the Navi was shown or told a certain thing, which was really a metaphor, was really a mashal. It wasn't the actual thing. For example, Yirmiyah Navi, you have it many times. The first Haftarah we read in the 3 weeks is all about the Sir Nafuach and about different things that the Rebbein Shlodim showed him as a mashal, that this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to come. And sometimes the mashal needs to be interpreted, and it's not always clear the way the Navi got it. There's a Rambam, which I'll speak it out, but you can look it up. The Rambam in Hilchas Deis, where he speaks about the Nevi'im, the Rambam says very clearly that a Navi did not always get the Devar Hashem in a clear way. Moshe Rabbeinu was an exception, that he was more Baspaklaria HaMe'ira, and he saw it more the way it is. Other Nevi'im saw something, and they had to interpret it, they had to explain it, and it was up to them to interpret what they saw. Now, we find the same type of thing even by the Urim V'Tumim. By the Urim V'Tumim, the Kohen didn't see exactly what's going to be. He saw Osias, and he had to put it together. And we know the story with Eli HaKohen, that he saw words, Shin Chaf Resh Hei, he thought it's Shikoira, it meant Keshera. So we see that even a Kohen Gadol with the Urim V'Tumim made a mistake, a major mistake. He was choshed this woman that she was, you know, out of her mind. So we see that not always is the revelation a clear revelation. There's a famous pshat that they say, it's a bit off topic, but just to put things into context, Rashi in Parshas Bo, where it says, Daber no, ba'oznei ha'om, v'yish'alu, so Rashi famously says that, what's Daber no? Ein no eloshem bakosha, b'bakosha mimcha, go ask them, they should go and borrow the things from the Mitzrayim. Why? Shelo yoymer oyse tzadik, v'avodem v'inu kaim bahem, v'avodem v'inu oysem kaim bahem, v'achachan yetzu b'rechush godoil, loy kaim bahem. So the Welt sagt apshat, that what v'achachan yetzu b'rechush godoil? Pashtus, it could go on the Torah. We got, after Mitzrayim, we got the rechush godoil of getting the Torah. Now, when it came to v'avodem v'inu oysem, it's going poshut pshat. When it comes to v'achachan yetzu b'rechush godoil, you're starting to say droshes. Shlo yoymer is a tzaddik that v'avodem v'inu oysem kayam bohem, they felt it on their bodies with all the tzaras that they got from Paroi. And v'achachan yetzu b'rechush godoil, loy kayam bohem, it's only a metaphor. So we see there's a concept that it wouldn't be mufrach if, let's say, the v'achachan yetzu would have been a moshel, but the taina was that if that's a moshel, then let the v'avodem v'inu oysem also be a moshel. So Pashat Pshat, we can understand the Gemara, that when it says, L'chein biglalchem tzien soda techoresh, or techrash, that could be a metaphor. It doesn't mean in the literal sense. Now, L'maise, it did happen, but after the Churban. After the Churban, they dug up, they were choresh the Yerushalayim. But he said, once I've seen that this was Mekuyim b'miluoy, now I can hope that there's going to be the other part of the Nevuah is going to be Mekuyim. So we understand this part. But what's the Inyan of that they tore Kriya, and what's the Inyan of Rebbe Akiva Metzachek? So perhaps we can suggest Pshat in this Gemara based on a story that Rebbe Eliyahu Lapian brings in his Sefer, Lev Eliyahu. He brings something fascinating that not many bring, and he brings from the Ramah. The Ramah, as we know, wrote many Sfarim in Halacha, but he also wrote a Sefer and Kabbalah and different types of such in Yonim. It's called Torah Sa'oila, There's Torah HaChatos, there's Torah HaShlomim, and there's Torah HaOilam. And he brings a story that at the time of the Churban, there was a fellow by the name of Plato, which is the famous philosopher Plato. He was a good friend with Nebuchadnezzar. And he came to Yerushalayim with Nebuchadnezzar. And after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, this Plato went into the Beis HaMikdash, and he went to the Har HaBayis, and he saw Yirmiyahu HaNavi is crying. And he asked Yirmiyahu HaNavi two questions. He says, you're the Chacham B'Yisrael, right? You're the smartest person, the most clever person in Klal Yisrael. Why are you crying on Eitzim V'Avonim? You're crying over a building that burned down. Smart people, clever people don't do that. That's question number one. Question number two, he says, what are you crying about? About a building that was destroyed. Well, we all know that mature people don't cry over spilled milk. It's not here, it's gone. What are you crying about? Those were the two questions that Plato asked Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Azoi zog derema. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi answered, Al Rishon Rishon Val Achron Achron. The first question that you want to know, why I'm crying on Eitzim Vavonim, let me tell you something. Let's do an exercise. I'm sure, he says, as a philosopher, you have many questions. That's what philosophers do. They go around thinking, and that's how they come up with theories. And, you know, many times, you know, their whole life, they have one credit, that they came up with a certain theory, and then a few hundred years later, kimta tzvayte chucham, and, you know, knocks off this whole theory. Gone, gendik. His whole legacy is gone. But anyway, he says, I'm sure you have many things that are bothering you. He said, yes, indeed, that's the case. So he says, tell me all of your questions, all of the things that are perplexing you, and I'll give you the answers. And Kachava, Yirmiyahu HaNavi very easily gave him all the answers, and he was blown away. So says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, I want you to know that all this chokhmah, all this that I just told you, I got from this place. So this is not Stam Eitzim Vavonim. This is the Makar HaChokhmah. This is the place where, you know, we had everything that we needed, and now it's gone. Now the second question that you asked, why I'm crying over the past, why I'm crying over spilled milk, that's something that you'll never understand. And I'm not even going into it with you. So Reb Eli Lapian explains that Vosip Shat, L'chor, it's a good question. It's 1955 years this year from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Why are we crying on something of the past? The teretz is, we're not crying about something of the past. The past is the past. We're crying about something that has a future. We're crying about something that we believe that Be'ezus Hashem, the Ribbon Shem, will bring us back. And that is what we're crying about. In other words, in order for a person to be able taka to cry over something that l'chayra happened, and what's the point? The answer is, the point is that through our tears and through our actions, we are able to be zoicha to relive again what we lost. There's a famous Chassam Sofer who explains the bizarre thing that we find by Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is nikra moyed, says the Gemara. It's called the Yom Tov. Yesterday by Mincha, we didn't say Tachnun. It's a Yom Tov. Now, who in their right mind understands it's a Yom Tov and we're doing everything that has no shaykhas to Yom Tov? What's the Yom Tov about it? Says the Chassam Sofer, the Yom Tov is that the fact that we're mourning, the fact that we're misabel, the fact that we're sitting on the ground and saying kinnis, that is the reason why Be'ezus Hashem we're going to be zoiche to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That is what keeps us connected. That is our connection. That is our link to the chain. And that is the biggest Yom Tov. Because otherwise, we would have long been gone and long been lost. And with that, says the Chassam Sofer Pshat, that Kol HaMisabel al Yerushalayim, says the Gemara, Zoiche v'roye ben Echamoso. Frek the Chassam Sofer, it should have said, Kol HaMisabel al Yerushalayim, Yiske Liroiz ben Echamoso. Right now, he's not Zoicha V'roya, Yiske. Says the Chassam Sofer, no. The mere fact that he's Misabal al Yerushalayim, that is the biggest Nechama. Because we are not crying about the past. We are crying about the present and about the future. That is what a Yid is all about. There's the famous, they say about the Kaiser Franz Josef, he was the emperor on the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. And he came, he made his business to come to Palestine. He came to Eretz Yisrael. And he saw Yidden, because in Eretz Yerushalayim, people are mesavel on the Chorban every night, taking chatzos. And he wanted to know what this is all about. So they told him, what do you mean? There was this beautiful Beis HaMikdash and it got destroyed. He says, I didn't read about it in the papers. Like, when did it happen? He thought that he missed, maybe while he was traveling, he missed some news. They said, no, this happened a few, almost 1,500 years ago, 1,800 years ago at that time. And he says, what? You are crying about something that you lost so long ago? And he said, now I understand why Klal Yisrael are still here. Why we still have the Yidden that are Oivedes Hashem. It's all because of that connection. Our connection to the past is the future. Perhaps with this we can suggest Pshat in the Indian of Rebbe Akiva. We all understand that what they saw, seeing the shul, seeing a fox coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, is no laughing matter. And their reaction of crying was very much appropriate. That's the way a person should feel. So terrible that from the Mokem HaMikdash that you should see Shu'olam Holchavoy. However, Rebbe Akiva said, what I see here is the future. In other words, because this Inyan happened, as the Gemara connects it to the Nevuah of Iriya Koyen and the Nevuah of Zechariah, that they're both connected, now that I see that the Nevuah of Iriya was fulfilled, now I know that yes, it's a sad thing, but the laughter is that there's a future. And that is why the Gemara makes a point that he was Karu Bigdayim. In other words, why Karu Bigdayim? Because this is a reason to rise Kriya. This is a reason to be sad. But at the same time, just the fact that you are sad, that is the biggest hope that there's a future. Because if you're sad, that means that there's something to hope for. Because for the past, like Plato said, there's no point in crying about the past. So Rebbe Akiva said, because I see you crying. In other words, they asked them back, right? Why are you crying? Why are you laughing? They said, why shouldn't we cry? He says, that's exactly the reason why I'm laughing. Because we cry, because that is the natural reaction, that the way we should feel, that is the biggest hope that Be'ezes Hashem, things are going to get better. And that, Rabbeisai, is the avoida of Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. Yes, we're still in Avedus. Why? Mashiach didn't come yet. But what is the reason to sit on the floor? We see on Erev Tisha B'Av, we eat the Suda Mafsekes on the floor, but we don't take off our shoes yet. Taking off the shoes is a din in Avelus. On Erev Tisha B'Av, there's no din in Avelus. What's the reason of sitting on the floor? So the Poskim say, the reason is because you want to show you're eating taka, but it's a very low Suda. It's not something to be excited about, and we have it very simple. We eat only one tafshil. Even those that eat meat and drink wine, Medina Gemara, you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine all the way up to the Suda Mafsekes when you're not allowed to anymore. So this Suda is a low Suda. Why is it a low Suda? Because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But the reason why on Tisha B'Av we sit regularly, even though we're still in Avelus, because we're trying to show we are on a high. Why are we on a high? Because Be'ezes Hashem, after doing our Avoida the first half of the day of being Bavelus and being Misoinen and doing the Kinnis, and being misabel on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that is our biggest guarantee and hope that Be'ezes Hashem, we will be zoicha to see the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt. Now, let me share with you a fascinating Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham in Sima Tovkuf Nun Beis has a whole mevuka, a whole dilemma, which is something which is negeya l'alocha l'maise. And basically, the alocha is that on Tisha B'Av afternoon, after Chatzos, Erev Tisha B'Av afternoon, after Chatzos, one is not supposed to eat a big suda, more than one tafshil. And the criteria is, after Chatzos, and suda shemafsig boy. In other words, if let's say someone at Chatzos will eat a big suda, and that's at 1 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock he's hungry again, properly hungry again, he didn't eat for 7 hours, and he's going to have a suda mafsekes, that's fine. The issue that the poskim have is that people will eat a whole afternoon, You know, sometimes you'll eat one, sometimes you'll eat three, four, five, whatever it is. And then, at some point you say, okay, now it's Suda Mafsekes, and you're having the one Tafshil. What gave you a heter to eat the whatever you ate up to then? In other words, what divides, what separates the Suda Mafsekes from what you ate before? Even if you bench, even if Lamaisa, if someone eats up to an hour before Nacht, and then he benches and right away washes again and eats, Mehecha Teisi, that this is Suda Mafsekes and this is not. This is called Suda Shemafsik Boy. So the Rama says that because of that, our minig is minig Ashkenaz, that we daven mincha. So mincha, that is the divider. So whatever we eat up to mincha is a separate cheshbon. After mincha taka, we don't eat only one tafshul. Some people don't even have a coffee, a tea. Fine. That is the halacha in a nutshell. Kum to gain the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham says, I will give you a reason why people are marbe besuda. In other words, this is a fact. You see in the Rama that people would just let loose. When it came Erev Tisha B'Av in afternoon, people would just have everything besides meat and wine, but everything else people would have, as many tafshilim, it was like almost like a party. And the shail is why. Says the Magen Avraham, I will give you a reason why. What happened in the period of the second Beis HaMikdash? Right, so you had the first Beis HaMikdash, the Churban. So in those years, the 70 years of the first Churban, Tisha B'Av was a sad day. Then, the question is, what happened when the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt? So if you look in Sefer Zechariah, Perek Zion, this was a question that they asked. The people from Bovel and from Yerushalayim came to ask the Novi Zechariah, the Kohanim, Ha'efke Batzoim HaRevi, Batzoim HaChamishi, Batzoim HaShvi, Batzoim HaAsiri. They wanted to know, what should we do? Are we supposed to continue keeping Tisha B'Av as a sad day or not? Now, what's the Havamina to keep Tisha B'Av as a sad day if we have a Beis HaMikdash? So there's a few reasons in the Mefarshim. One reason is because Tisha B'Av, besides it being a bad day for the Churban, the first Churban at that point, it was also a bad day because of the Meraglim. Tisha B'Av was a sad day. So maybe we have a Beis HaMikdash, but we still need to fix the problem that we messed up with the Meraglim. Then there's another pshat. If you take a look and say for Ezra, there's a fascinating story, the Gemara speaks about it in Temura, that when they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, there were two groups of people. There was one group of people that were very happy, they were inaugurating the new Beis HaMikdash, Gevaldik, but then there was a group of people that were crying, they were mamash crying, you couldn't console them. And the Gemara says, who were those people? Those were the people who remembered the first Beis HaMikdash. And they were saying, what are you trying? You think this is going to fulfill, this is going to be Mamala Mokrim, the first Beis HaMikdash. You can't compare it. So maybe that would be the Havamina to still daven and to still keep Tisha B'Av. And the truth is, the Mefarshim say that the Bracha B'Yerushalayim, Ircha B'Rachmim Toshuv, which was, they were Mesak in the Amshkenes HaGedoyle, they daven throughout, even in the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, they still were davening with Yerushalayim, Ircha B'Rachmim Toshuv, because the Ruchnius of Yerushalayim never returned as it was in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. So Lemaise, the Novi tells them, no, that now that you have a Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be turned into L'Sosin and L'Simcha. It's going to become a Yontif. Says the Magen Avraham, for 420 years, Tisha B'Av was a Yontif. They made sudas, they had meat, they had music. It was a Yontif. So now, unfortunately, we are in the throes of the second Churban Beis HaMikdash. But we want to make a zecher to the sudas that they made on Tisha B'Av all those years, the 420 years. We can't do it on Tisha B'Av. So we do it on Erev Tisha B'Av. Raboisai, think about it. Erev Tisha B'Av. Very sad time. Some people have a minig. The only time in the year they say Al-Nahar is Bovel is Erev Tisha B'Av by Suda Mafsekes. It's a time where we're thinking about the Churban. And here we go and we throw a party. Okay, it's a parva party. It's not a barbecue. But we throw a party. Why? To commemorate the simcha of what happened in the 420 years of the when the second Beis HaMikdash was there. Unfortunately, we're already doing more than four times the 420 that we're mourning, right? Because it's 1955. So what's the point of making this Suda on Erev Tisha B'Av afternoon? Rabbi Yisai, hu asher dibarnu. This is exactly what it is about. That the reason of mourning on the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the reason why we cry and we sit on the ground is not because of the past. It's because of the future. So we want to remind ourselves that we shouldn't despair. Yes, unfortunately, it's so many years later. But just like after 70 years of mourning and after 70 years of Tisha B'Av being a sad day, they had the 420 years where it was a Yom Tov. This is what's going to happen. Be'ezes Hashem, Yiyu L'Beis Yehuda L'Sasin L'Simcha. That is why on Erev Tisha B'Av, when we have many other things to think about, but this is all part of the Avelus. In other words, it's not pshat that you have Avelus and you have Simcha, you have Nechama. Part of the Avelus is the Nechama, because the reason of the Avelus is because there is Nechama. That is why you do the Avelus. And that is why we sit on a chair now, regular chairs, because yes, we're still in Avelus. But part of the Avelus is the Avodah to know that there is a future and there is a hope. Perhaps with this we can understand a fascinating halacha which we find, the Magen Avraham brings it down. It's not something that we do, but it's in the Beis Yosef at the end of Siman Tov Kuf Nun Dalet, where the Beis Yosef brings down, he brings the Shaila, the Rosh, someone asked the Rosh a Shaila whether we say Miktas HaYom Kekuloi by Tisha B'Av. And the Rosh says, no, Chalila V'Chas, shouldn't even cross your mind, Ela Kol HaYom Oser. But then he says even more, Misha make a lirchatz v'namincha l'malo, because that's what the shayla was. That's, the people wanted to start washing themselves on Tisha B'Av afternoon. He says, Oyver al divrei chachamim. Ach, he says, minik kodum, there was an early minik. This is, he brings from the kolboy. Shahanoshim rochtas roishon v'namincha l'malo b'yom Tisha B'Av. Women would wash their heads on Tisha B'Av. Uzekeinim harishoinim hinhigu zeh. This is a minig that was nisyasid by Zekeinim HaRishoinim. V'osu samach l'dover, because we find that the Medrash says that Mashiach is noilet b'yom Tisha B'Av. V'tzorech laso zeicher l'goyel u'lemenachem kedei shelo yisyashu min ha-ge'ula. People should understand and realize that the ge'ula is coming. And v'zeh dafke l'noshim l'fi she'en chalushois melaham menechomois b'pnei she'en yodah seif. And it's not something we're going to say in public. But Lemaise, he says, the Beis Yosef says azoi, ani oimer ki aminig ahu nishtake, that we don't have that minig anymore. V'loi noimar, we're not going to say it. V'chalabo lohokel b'dovor, koifin oisoi, shelo yaver al divrei chachomim. Now, and this is the makar that the Ramo says, that melocha and other things, you can be makel after chatzois, and especially this year for Shabbos, you can have a cleaner if you have every week. In other words, you can start doing things already this afternoon, because this is the makar that we see that in Tisha B'Av afternoon, they started, there were certain things that they allowed in order for people to believe in the inyan of the Geula. And we see how even though Rechitza B'Tisha B'Av is Osir, but in order for people not to lose that, and in order for people to be Nischazik in the inyan of Emunah, they allowed it. I have a Kabbalah that I was mekabel from Rav Osner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. On Tisha B'Av afternoon, he would learn Berabim, Rambam Hilchas Mashiach. And I had the schutz of sitting by his shir once for sure, maybe twice. Now, the question is, according to Halacha, there are certain things that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, and certain things that you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Rambam Hilchas Mashiach is definitely not on the list of things that you can learn on Tisha B'Av. So where's the makar? This is the makar, Avoisai. That part of the Avelus is the hope and the bitochoin in the Geula. And that is why, even though it's still Tisha B'Av, we're still mourning the Churban, we're still not wearing shoes, but we're sitting regularly to show that this is all part of who we are, why we are, and Be'ezes Hashem, what we will be. B'mheira v'yameinu, amen.